The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
State will instead be calling Sarah Mae Teague at this time.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning, Ms. Teague.
Good morning.
I just want to ask you some brief questions about yourself and your family. Is that all right?
Yes.
So you said that your name is Sarah Mae. Where do you reside right now?
I live on the West Coast.
At some point in time, did you live in Brown County, Wisconsin?
I did.
Did you grow up here in Brown County?
For the most part. I spent most of my childhood in the area.
At some point, did you live at a residence on 1368 Riverdale Drive in the village of Hobart?
Yes, I did.
And who lived with you at that residence?
My stepfather, Dennis, my mother, Keyson, and my sister, Sabrina.
Your stepfather, Dennis, at some point, did he pass away?
He did.
When did that happen?
May 8th, 2014.
After Dennis passed away, did you continue to live at that residence?
I did not, know.
In fact, did you leave the residence prior to Denny passing?
I did, yes.
When did you leave your residence and go out to the West Coast?
That would have been in 2008.
And after Dennis passed, did your mother and Sabrina continue to reside at that residence?
Yes, they did.
And did you occasionally come back and visit them at all?
Absolutely.
I'm just going to ask you if you could tell me very briefly just some things about your mother, Issa.
She was like her name, you know. I'm sorry. She was tough, and you know, she can melt snow. And she was also very loving and nourishing and very concerned about the health and welfare of her daughters. And she lived this life of hard work and good food and sacrifice for us.
Can you tell me a little bit about your sister, Sabrina?
She was a goofy kid. She was very sweet and kind of dorky and loved people and animals and drawing and cooking and... The amount with which she cared, she loved hard. She had a very big heart and always wanted to help everyone.
Sabrina was your younger sister, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. How much younger is she than you?
8 years. In a lot of ways, she was sort of a daughter. It's not the same, but there was, you know, a caretaker relationship between us.
Sarah, maybe you provided a photograph of your sister and your mom together, and I just want to show that exhibit to you. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing you what the state has marked as Exhibit 1P1. Can you see that photograph on the screen in front of you?
I can, yep.
And can you indicate what that photograph depicts?
That is when my mom and Dennis were married. My mom's in her traditional gown that she had... It was custom sewn for her, and she had brought that with her. And that's Sabrina in the teal dress standing over her shoulder. And you can't quite see, but they're clutching hands.
Thank you, Sarah, for sharing that about your family there this morning.
Thank you.
No further questions.
Thank you.
Cross?
No.
Thank you, Ms. Teague. You may step
Thank
down.
You.
Thank you. This day will now call Amber Lynn.
Thank you.
Good morning, Ms. Lynn. Can you state for the record how you are employed?
I am a forensic scientist in the DNA analysis unit at the Wisconsin State Crime Lab in Madison.
As part of your duties at the State Crime Lab, did you become involved in an investigation in 2016 into the death of Isan Teague and Sabrina Teague?
Yes, I was.
Do you recall when you first had any contact with this case or did any work on this case?
I don't recall the exact date.
Did you prepare reports with respect to your findings from the case involving the death of Sabrina and Isan Teague?
Yes, I did.
Do you know how many reports you prepared?
I authored 4 reports for that case.
Okay. The State Crime Lab assigns case numbers to each case, is that fair?
Yes.
And then are there report numbers that go with those case numbers?
Correct.
Do you know which report numbers you authored in this particular case?
In this one, it was, I believe, 12, 14, and I'm not sure if the last one was 19 or 20.
Ms. Lynn, can you please take a look at 16, 17, and 18, and then identify those individually?
These are 3 of the reports that I authored in this case. The report numbers are 12, 19, and 20.
Okay. You indicated you believe you authored an additional report, 14?
Yes.
But that wasn't necessarily relevant to the specific findings as it relates to this homicide investigation, is that correct?
Correct.
I'm going to draw your attention specifically to Exhibit 16, which I believe is Report 12, is that correct?
Yes.
Can you describe the process you undertook in order to begin your analysis prior to authoring report number 16, report number 12, exhibit number 16?
Yeah, so when I pick up a case, I request the evidence from our evidence technicians. They have everything stored in a central location. So they grabbed the evidence for me. I took it back to my bench. I started taking notes on all of the items. And then I took samples from those items to take further through the DNA analysis process.
For the receipt of evidence at the lab, the storage of evidence at the lab, and then the transfer back to the agency, are there certain protocols that your agency follows in order to maintain the integrity of the chain of custody of that evidence?
Yes, there are.
And there are logs that are maintained at the lab in order to ensure that that is followed?
Correct.
Did you note that there were any problems or concerns with respect to the chain of custody in this case?
No, I did not.
So when you received the items, the initial items, could you describe what initial items were received at the lab with respect to this case, which is Crime Lab case number 16-4328?
Yes. So in this case, I received swabs that were reportedly from the left-hand palm of Jacob Perry Kager, swabs from the right-hand palm, reportedly from Jacob Perry Kager, swabs from the bottom of the left and right foot of Jacob Perry Kager. I received a knife, a tire iron, a shovel. I also received a sexual assault evidence collection kit from Isan Teague, as well as one from Sabrina Teague. And I also received buccal swab standards from Jacob Kager and Joel Kennedy.
As part of those kits that you received from Isan and Sabrina Teague, that they're sexual assault kits, but this was not a sexual assault allegation. It's common that that would be a way that you would receive the standards for those subjects as well?
Yes.
And you did receive buccal swabs for Isan and Sabrina Teague in addition to the ones from Joel Kennedy and Jacob Kager?
That's correct.
You mentioned that you received a knife, a tire iron, and a shovel. It's fair to say in this case you actually received the items themselves.
Yes, I did.
In some cases, that's not what happens. Is that right?
Correct.
In some cases, the agency or someone else may actually swab those items and send the swabs to you.
Yes.
But in this case, you receive the items yourself, and then what do you do when you receive those items?
Once I receive the items, I examine them, looking for biological material and good places to take a DNA sample from. Once I decide where I want to take that sample, I take a moistened swab, which is basically just a really big Q-tip, and I will swab the item to attempt to recover DNA from the stains or other areas that I am interested in examining on the item.
Once you have recovered a swab from a particular item, or if you've received a swab from a particular item, what process do you have to undergo in order to then develop profiles for comparison?
So once I collect the swab, there's 4 additional steps to get the DNA profile. The first one is extraction of the swab. So that's just using heat and chemicals to kind of break open the cells that were collected to get the DNA out of them. The second step is called quantitation, which is a process that determines how much DNA I was able to extract from that item. That just helps us for the third step called amplification. We need to make several copies of the DNA that we get in order for our instruments to be able to detect it a little better. Then finally, the last process is DNA typing. We use an instrument that separates out the DNA and kind of organizes everything into a nice file for us to be able to interpret. And then we will look at the DNA profile, determine how many contributors there are in that profile, and if we're able to make any comparisons to that DNA profile that was developed.
And were you able to develop profiles suitable for comparison from a number of the items that you had received in this case?
Yes, I was.
And I'm going to walk you through specifically each of those items and ask whether or not you were able to make any comparisons and then what those comparisons were. That sound all right?
Okay.
So the first item listed in your report is profile from the left hand palm of Jacob Kerr, which is listed as item H. Were you able to develop an STR DNA profile from that swab suitable for comparison?
Yes, I was.
And what were your findings with respect to item H?
The swabs from the left-hand palm was a mixture profile from at least two individuals. That mixture included at least one male contributor. And do you want me to go into the comparisons as well?
Yes, please.
So for that two-person mixture, Jacob Kerr and Sabrina Teague were both included as possible contributors. And Hisan Teague and Joel Kennedy were both excluded as possible contributors of that mixture profile.
So from that swab, there was a DNA mixture of two people, is that correct?
Yes.
And what does it say when it says that Jacob Kerr and Sabrina Teague are included as possible contributors? Can you sort of describe what that is for the jury?
So when I make the comparison between the evidence profile and the Buckle standard that is received, I'm comparing all of the different DNA types that are present. So when they're both included as a possible contributor, their DNA types are included within that mixture.
In addition to saying that they're both possible contributors, are you then able to also sort of quantify how likely it is that there could be other random contributors instead of the two of them?
Yes, we also calculate a statistic to determine how common the specific DNA profile developed would be in the general population.
And did you do that with respect to swab H?
Yes, I did.
And what was that result?
The possibility of randomly selecting an unrelated individual that could be included was approximately 1 in 21 million.
I'm going to ask you then to move on to item I, which is a mixture DNA that was located on the right palm of Jacob Perry Kerr. What conclusions were you able to draw with respect to item I, the DNA from his right palm?
So the DNA profile from the right palm was a mixture of three individuals. That mixture also included at least one male contributor.
And there's a discussion of a major mixture component. What is the difference between a major mixture and a minor mixture component?
So a major mixture component, since this was a profile of three individuals, a major mixture is a mixture of the top two contributors. They contributed more DNA to that sample than the third person. So the major mixture is a mixture of those top two individuals that I was able to separate out from that kind of lower level third person.
Were you able to compare the major mixture component to the known samples that you had in this case?
Yes.
And what conclusions did you draw from that?
Jacob Kerr and Sabrina Teague are both included as possible contributors to the major mixture component profile. And Hisan Teague and Joel Kennedy are both excluded as contributors to the major mixture component of that profile.
And what was the statistical relationship of that mixture of those two when compared to the general population?
The probability of selecting a random unrelated individual that could contribute to the major mixture profile is approximately 1 in 48 million.
And you talked about the major component. Was there any analysis that you could draw from the minor component of the profile here?
No, I was not able to make comparisons to that minor component.
And So when you say that Hee-Sun Teague and Joel Kennedy are excluded as possible contributors to the major mixture, are you able to draw any conclusions about whether Joel Kennedy and Hee-Sun Teague would be excluded from the minor portion of that mixture?
No, I'm not able to make any comparisons to that minor contributor.
Moving on to the next paragraph, you were able to develop an STR DNA profile from the swabs of the bottom left foot of Mr. Kayer. That's item J?
Yes.
What were your conclusions with respect to that particular swab?
So for the bottom of the left foot, I was actually only able to develop a single DNA type for that profile.
And were you able to draw any conclusions about it?
No.
Why is that?
One DNA type is not enough information for us to be able to make a comparison to a DNA profile. There's not really very much information present in that profile at all.
And then with respect to the item K, which is a swab from the bottom right foot of Jacob Kayer, were you able to draw any conclusions with respect to that swab?
Yes, I was.
And what is that conclusion?
The swabs from the bottom of the right foot was also a three-person mixture, including at least one male contributor. That profile was only suitable for exclusionary purposes because the profile was just a very low-level sample.
And that was a male contributor?
There was at least one male in the mixture, yes.
Okay. And were you able to draw any conclusions about the people whose known samples you received and that particular mixture?
The DNA contribution from Hee-Sun Teague and Sabrina Teague was inconclusive, and Jacob Kayer and Joel Kennedy are excluded from that mixture.
Okay. And so this is sort of an interesting phenomenon in the DNA world, right, where you have a swab from the foot of Jacob Kayer, and he himself is excluded as a possible contributor from that swab.
That's correct.
Is that entirely uncommon in your experience?
No.
And does that have to do with the level of DNA that was available on that particular swab, or what other factors could contribute to that?
Yeah, so it's possible that that swab just didn't have a lot of DNA on it. His DNA might not be included if there was another substance or material that was kind of on top of the foot that was swabbed up, then his profile would possibly be excluded just because a lot of those skin cells weren't included in that swabbing.
So if his feet were dirty, for example.
True.
With respect to item L, what is item L in your report?
Item L is the knife.
And as we touched on earlier, that is an item that you yourself received in swab. Is that correct?
Correct.
Ms. Lind, I'm drawing your attention to what has previously been marked as Exhibit 1N5. It's up on the board behind you, and then there's also a screen in front here in front of the defense counsel table, if that's easier for you to look at. But could you indicate what is depicted in that photograph?
That is the knife that I received for analysis in this case.
And is this a photograph that you took?
Yes.
And there are markings on that photograph. Are those your markings?
Yes.
So they indicate the date, the case number, and then also just some notes?
Correct.
Also shows the length of that particular item in this instance?
Yes.
And this, I believe, does this depict the knife before or after you did anything with it?
This is before I took my swabbings.
I am going to draw your attention to photograph depicted in Exhibit 1N4. Could you indicate what is depicted in that photograph?
This is a picture showing where I took the swabbing that I then subdesignated as item L1.
Ask you to draw your attention again to Exhibit 1N3. What is indicated in that particular photograph?
This is showing where I took two additional swabbings of the knife, which I subdesignated as items L2 and L3.
And Ms. Lind, with respect to your report, were you able to draw any comparison conclusions with the STR DNA profiles developed from the swabs that you took in L1, L2, and L3?
Yes, I was.
What conclusions were you able to draw?
All three of those swabbings, L1, L2, and L3, were all a single-source female profile, and they were all from the same female individual.
And what was that female individual?
The comparison, Sabrina Teague was the source of the DNA from those items.
With previous swabbings, there was a discussion of the fact that you had mixtures, and then there was a statistical analysis of the likelihood of selecting someone. In this particular case, in this particular swab, you don't have that. You're actually saying Sabrina Teague is the source of that DNA. How are you able to make that conclusion with respect to this piece of evidence as opposed to with those other pieces of evidence?
Our lab has a procedure, and when we calculate a statistical analysis, if that analysis results in a statistical weight being rarer than 1 in 7 trillion individuals, we determine that individual to be the source of the DNA profile.
So that's what happened here, is the likelihood of this being anyone else is greater than 1 in 7 trillion.
Correct.
In addition to indicating that Sabrina Teague is the source of the DNA in swabs L1, L2, and L3, were you also able to make then subsequent exclusionary conclusions with respect to the other three samples?
Yes, I was.
Jacob Kerr, Hisun Teague, Joel Kennedy, they are not the source of that particular DNA.
Correct.
I'm going to draw your attention then to the next paragraph. We're then dealing with an item, which is item M. Do you recall what that item was?
Item M was the tire iron.
And again, did you yourself receive that item and decide where to take swabs?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to draw your attention to Exhibit 1 and 2. Can you indicate what's depicted in that particular photograph?
This is a swabbing that I took from kind of that bended area that I subdesignated as item M2.
I'm going to draw your attention to photograph depicted in 1N1. Can you describe what's depicted in that photograph?
That is a swabbing that I took from the area where those blue marks are, and I subdesignated that as item M3.
Then I'd like you to walk through the conclusions that you were able to reach with respect to that particular item. Were you able to develop STR DNA profiles from the swabs you took from item M?
Yes, I was.
Specifically, you took swabbings M1 and M2. Were you able to develop a profile from swab M2?
Yes, I was.
And what conclusions were you able to make with respect to that swab?
Item M2 was a mixture from at least 2 individuals. It includes at least 1 male contributor. And there was a single a major female contributor that was determined from that mixture profile.
And what conclusions were you able to make with respect to the major female contributor?
Hisun Teague was the source of that major female contributor profile. Jacob Kerr, Sabrina Teague, and Joel Kennedy were all excluded as the source of that major female contributor.
Now, when you say that Jacob Kerr, Sabrina Teague, and Joel Kennedy are excluded as the source of the major female contributor to the STAR DNA profile, are you suggesting that those people are entirely excluded from any DNA on that at that point, or just with respect to that swab?
Only with respect to that major female component of that mixture. I was not able to make any comparisons to the minor contributor in that mixture.
And again, you indicate that Hisun Teague is the source of the major female contributor on that, and that means that your statistical analysis is beyond the 1 in 7 trillion.
Correct.
And then with respect to the swabbing that occurred along the straight part of the tire iron, swabbing M3, were you able to make any conclusions based on tRDNA profile that you developed on that swabbing?
Yes, I was.
And what conclusions were you able to make?
That was also a mixture of 2 individuals with at least 1 male contributor. And there was also a major female contributor in that mixture profile. And Hisun Teague was also the source of the major female contributor from that profile.
Were you able to make any conclusions as to other potential contributors to the mixture on M3?
So for M3, I was able to make comparisons to the minor component of that mixture, and Jacob Kerr is included as a possible contributor to the mixture profile from item M3.
What are the statistical odds of selecting a random unrelated individual to be included as a contributor?
That would be approximately 1 in 6 million.
Were you able to make any determinations about whether Sabrina Teague or Joel Kennedy were included as possible contributors to that mixture profile?
Both Sabrina Teague and Joel Kennedy were excluded from that mixture profile.
With respect to item M4, where was M4 taken from that particular item?
Swabbing M4 was taken from the narrow end of the tire iron.
I apologize that I didn't put a photograph of the entire tire iron up there for your analysis, but are you generally familiar with that item, and have you viewed photographs of it in general?
Yes.
So when you say the narrow end, where is that in relation to what you're viewing up there on Exhibit 1 and 2?
This would be the opposite end of the tire iron, so M4 was on the opposite side.
Were you able to develop an STR DNA profile from the swab you took at M4?
Yes.
Were you able to draw any conclusions about the profile you developed?
Yes. The swab from M4 was a mixture from at least two individuals, including at least one male contributor. Jacob Kerr and Hisan Teague were both included as possible contributors to that mixture profile.
And what is the statistical odds of randomly selecting an unrelated individual to contribute to that mixture?
Approximately 1 in 104 million.
Were you able to draw any conclusions with respect to Sabrina Teague or Joel Kennedy's contribution to that mixture profile?
Sabrina Teague and Joel Kennedy are both excluded as possible contributors to the mixture profile.
In addition, I don't have photographs of this, but in addition, you also analyzed the shovel in this case. Is that correct?
Correct.
And were you able to develop any STR DNA profile from a swab of Q1 on the handle of the shovel?
Yes, I was.
And what conclusions, if any, were you able to draw from that particular swab?
The swabbing from the blue plastic handle was a mixture of at least two individuals. This mixture included at least one male contributor. And Sabrina Teague and Joel Kennedy are both included as possible contributors to this mixture profile.
What was the statistical likelihood of selecting someone other than those two?
So selecting a random unrelated individual was approximately 1 in 4 billion.
And were you able to draw any conclusions about Jacob Kerr or Hisan Teague with respect to the swabbing of the handle of the shovel?
Yes, Jacob Kerr and Hisan Teague are both excluded as possible contributors to this mixture profile.
Were you able to develop an STR DNA profile from a swab from the wooden handle of the shovel?
Yes, I was.
And that is item Q2, is that correct?
Correct.
And what conclusion were you able to draw from the swabbing of the handle of the shovel?
A single-source female DNA profile was detected, and Sabrina Teague is the source of that female DNA profile.
Were you able to have any exclusionary comparisons with respect to the other parties in this case?
Yes. Jacob Kerr, Hisan Teague, and Joel Kennedy are all excluded from that female profile.
In addition, you did a swab of the metal blade of the shovel Q3, is that correct?
Correct.
And were you able to draw any conclusions as to the swabbing of the blade of the shovel?
Yes, that was a mixture of at least two individuals, also including at least one male contributor. There was a major male contributor in that mixture, and Joel Kennedy is the source of that major male contributor profile.
Were you able to draw any conclusions as to whether Jacob Kerr, Hisan Teague, or Sabrina Teague were included as part of that particular swab?
Jacob Kerr, Hisan Teague, and Sabrina Teague are excluded as the source of the major male contributor portion of that profile. I was not able to make any comparisons to the minor contributor of that profile.
And I should clarify, so samples on that particular shovel on Q3, what...
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
What is it that you swabbed, or what drew your attention on that particular item that you took a swab of?
I noticed some red-brown staining present along the edge of the metal blade on the shovel.
And red-brown staining, based on your training and experience, is consistent with what substance?
That would be consistent with blood.
And was the same true of the swab that you took on the handle Q2 on that shovel?
Yes, it is.
And was the same also true of the swab you took on the on Q1?
Yes.
Also on the shovel?
Yep.
So again, you were looking for items of potential blood because that is usually the easiest to develop a profile from. Is that right?
Correct.
Ms. Lind, I'm going to draw your attention to report number 19, which is exhibit number 17. That report was authored on what date?
That was May 28th of 2019.
And what item or swabs were you analyzing in that particular report?
For this report, I was re-examining the knife.
And what did you do in order to re-examine that knife?
I took another swabbing from the tip of the knife, and I took a swabbing from the bottom of the handle, kind of near where the blade and handle meet up on the knife.
And this report looks a little different than the previous report. Can you explain to the jury why that is the case?
Yeah, we started with a new amplification kit at our laboratory, and along with that change, we made some changes to the layout of our reports to make them a little easier to read.
Were you able to draw any conclusions with respect to the swabbing from L4 from the tip of the knife and L5 from the bottom of the handle of the knife?
Yes, I was.
And what was your conclusion? What was your conclusion with respect to L4?
L4 was a single source female profile, and Sabrina Teague was the source of that female profile.
And that was a swab from the tip of the knife?
Yes.
And then the swab from the bottom of the handle of the knife, were you able to develop any DNA profiles there?
I also developed a single-source female profile from that swabbing, and Sabrina Teague was the source of that female profile as well.
Did you attempt any other type of analysis on the knife as part of this report?
Yes, I did.
What did you determine?
I attempted to develop a YSTR profile from the swabbing of the bottom of the handle. And I was able to develop a partial profile that ended up being a mixture of at least three individuals.
And when you're talking about YSTR, we're talking about male DNA, is that correct?
Correct.
Were you able to do any comparison with respect to that YSTR profile?
No, I was not.
And then, Ms. Lind, finally, I'm going to draw your attention to Exhibit 18, which is Report Number 20. You see that exhibit?
Yes.
Have you had a chance to look it over?
Yes.
Does it appear to be consistent with the report you generated on or about August 15th of 2019?
Yes, it is.
And what were you asked to analyze in that particular report?
I was examining two socks.
And those were socks that were provided to you by law enforcement from the residence?
Correct.
And in preparing for court here today, did you have an opportunity to look at your notes with respect to those particular socks or those items?
Yes.
And can you describe them?
They were kind of dirty-looking socks. They were very kind of stiff when I removed them from the packaging.
What color were they?
I don't recall exactly the color.
What did you do in order to analyze those socks for the potential existence of DNA?
I took a swabbing from the inside of the cuff from one of the socks, and from that same sock, I attempted to take a cutting in the heel area of the sock, and then on the other sock, I took a cutting from some of the red-brown staining that I observed on the sock.
And with respect to the swabbing from the inside cuff of the sock, that would be item AC1. Were you able... AC1A, were you able to develop or any profile suitable for comparison?
No, I was not.
With respect to the cutting from the heel area of the sock, which is AC1B, were you able to develop a profile suitable for comparison?
Yes, I was.
Tell us about that.
That profile was a partial profile, but it was a two-person mixture. There was a major female contributor in that mixture. And that profile was consistent with the profile from Heeson Teague.
And is there a statistical probability associated with that?
Yes. The probability of selecting a randomly unrelated individual would be approximately 1 in 2 billion.
Were you able to make any comparisons about the minor contributor to that sample?
No, I was not.
And were you able to make exclusionary conclusions about the about Serena Teague, Joel Kennedy, or Jacob K. or to the major female contributors component?
Yes. Serena Teague, Joel Kennedy, and Jacob K. were all excluded from that major female contributor of that mixture.
Okay. But just to that component, is that right?
Yes, just to the major female component of it.
Okay. So basically there are multiple components of that mixture. The one female is like Hee-San Teague is included, and it's unlikely that you would find someone else, 1 in 1 billion. And then you aren't able to draw any comparisons about the minor contribution.
Correct.
And then with respect to AC2A, which is the cutting from the staining on the sock, were you able to develop any comparable profiles there?
Yes, I was.
And what were you able to determine based on that?
The staining on the sock was a single-source female profile. It was a low-level profile, but I was still able to make comparisons. And Hee-San Teague was the source of that female profile.
All the conclusions that you've made today with respect to the sources of DNA and the statistical analysis, are all of those made to a reasonable degree of professional or scientific certainty?
Yes, they are.
Thank you. Cross-examination, Mr. Cotton.
Good morning.
I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the limitations of DNA testing, okay?
Okay.
DNA testing does have limitations, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And one limitation, for example, would be that in a case such as this, the DNA that was brought in was tested only against certain known standards. Is that correct?
It was compared to the reference standards submitted, yes.
And those were Mr. Kerr, Joel Kennedy, Sabrina Teague, and Hee-San Teague, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So four known standards that the evidence is tested against, right?
Correct.
Isn't it true that in the state of Wisconsin we have a DNA database?
Yes.
And the DNA database contains tens of thousands of samples in it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
More than 100,000 samples?
Yes.
The database consists of human beings' DNA that is put into this database for future comparison. Fair to say?
Yes.
And as a DNA analyst like yourself, what that lets you do is take, in the future or at any given moment, if you have a piece of evidence come in, you can take a swab of that piece of evidence and you can run it against the database, right?
Correct.
Gives you an idea then if you don't know what's, if you have blood on an item, for example, and you run it against the database, it can give you an idea of whose DNA it is, right?
It could, yes.
And we can have mixtures of DNA on items, can't we?
Yes.
In other words, if multiple people touch something, we could have multiple people's DNA on one item, right?
Correct.
And you gave the jury examples of that even in this case, right?
Yes.
But again, each one of these specific things that was tested, knife, crowbar, shovel, will only run against the four individuals that we've identified, right?
Those were the comparisons that I made, yes.
Did you ever run a comparison against the DNA data bank that we have in the state?
I would have to look to see if any specific profiles were entered.
Okay. Can you look at that on your report?
Sure. The standards from the profiles that were obtained from the Buckle standards were searched against our internal quality assurance index of the database, as well as these cutting from the staining on one of the socks.
Okay, so the Buckles themselves were searched against your internal database.
Correct.
Is that the statewide database that I was just talking about?
That is searched at just the Madison level against other profiles that are developed. It's mainly to monitor for like contamination purposes.
Got it. And then one portion of one sock was tested against the statewide database?
No, that was also against the Madison only portion of the database.
So you would agree that not one piece of evidence in this case, not one swabbing, was tested against the state database, right?
Correct.
And the state database is one database. There's also a national one, too, right?
Yes.
So in the people in that database are criminals, felons, and people like that, right?
Those are some of the individuals in there, yes.
who are some of the other individuals in the databases, if you know?
There's also different evidence profiles from other cases around the country. There's also profiles from, like, missing persons, relatives of missing persons.
So voluntarily, somebody could upload DNA to that also?
Yes, they could.
So in really testing the buckle swabs, when you talk about that, really testing the buckle swabs against your internal database, really just for quality control purposes, it doesn't do anything else, right?
Correct. It's mostly to monitor for internal contamination at the laboratory.
So we want to make sure that when Mr. Kerr provides a sample of his DNA, you run it against the internal system to make sure that it's not contaminated.
Correct.
Okay. There would be no point in taking Mr. Kerr's buccal swab and testing it against a national database. There would really be no point in doing that.
Correct.
Now, what you were specifically trying to do in this case was figure out the various things that were recovered as evidence. You were trying to figure out whose DNA is on these things, right?
Yes.
You would agree with me that there could be other individuals' DNA on all of these items. You would agree with that, right?
Yes.
So we've identified four people that we took known samples from, but you would agree that of the hundreds of thousands or even millions of people in the other databases, we don't know if those people's DNA is on these items, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and that's because we've never tested against that.
Correct. I didn't make any comparisons to any other standards.
Now, you talked about a sexual assault kit, and I think Mr. Lassay clarified this with you. There's no sex assault allegation whatsoever in this case, right?
None that I'm aware of.
Correct. So that's why we don't even care whatsoever. Nobody cares one bit about cervical swabs and things like that, right?
That's not the items that I was interested in testing.
Because you're told it's not a sex assault case, right?
Correct.
Now, if it were, if we had somebody who was raped or somebody who was being sexually deviant, then we can test all the, you can test all those things to figure out what's on there, right?
Yes, I could.
Okay. So from everything you've learned and determined in this case, it doesn't appear to be any sexual motivation whatsoever. Fair to say?
Correct.
Now, the shovel you talked about in this case, there was a shovel that was tested, and I don't believe you identified a picture of that. Did you? Were you shown a picture of the shovel on that screen today?
No.
As I understand, do you know where that shovel was recovered in this case or no?
I do not.
You didn't go to the crime scene, right?
Correct.
But you can remember the shovel that you tested, right?
Yes.
And it was a snow shovel, right?
Yes.
One of those plastic shovels with a metal blade on the end to shovel snow, right?
Correct.
And the reason that was tested was because somebody told you that you should swab the handle and the blade and test those things, right?
I was told to examine the item, yes.
And then you decide what portions of the item to test. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Now, the blade was important to test because you could see what appeared to be blood on it.
Correct.
And the handle would be important because presumably somebody would grab the handle to use it, right?
Yes.
So when you get a shovel and you're told to test this item, what you're thinking in your head is this item was involved in the crime in some capacity. That's why they're sending it to me to test.
Correct.
But you don't know what role a shovel, if any, really played, right? That would be fair to say?
That's correct.
And Mr. Kerr's DNA is not on the shovel. Am I correct?
Yes, he was excluded from all of the comparisons that I made to the profiles that I was able to make comparisons to.
Including the blade of the shovel, right?
Yes, he was excluded from that major male contributor.
And this is identified in Exhibit 16, is it not?
Yes.
So when you were, just so we're clear for the record, when you were looking down just now, you were looking at Exhibit 16 before you answered my question.
Correct.
Because you want to make sure it's what the answer is, right?
Yes.
And in the shovel itself is, this is a technical report, but where in the report do you discuss the shovel? Could you tell the jury what portion of the report that you referred to?
The bottom of page 4 and the top of page 5.
And when you say the blade of the shovel, you're talking about there's two parts to the shovel. There's the handle that one would push the snow with, and then there's the blade part where you would actually push the snow, right?
Correct.
And that when you say Mr. Kier's DNA is not on the blade, you're referring to the end portion that the snow would have been pushed with, right?
Correct.
No DNA at all on it. Oh, I'm sorry. No DNA from Mr. Kier on it.
From the swabbing I took of the blade, he was not in that major male portion of that mixture.
However, Joel Kennedy is the source of the major male contributor on the blade.
Correct.
In other words, we also, in addition to that, look at the handle from the shovel, too. You did that part, and we don't have Mr. Kier's DNA on the wooden handle, right?
Correct.
Sabrina's DNA was on the handle.
Yes. She was included in both of those swappings.
Now, as I understand it, you testified that Mr. Kier's hands were swabbed and you received the swabbings in the lab, did you not?
Correct.
So, you didn't do it. You yourself never swabbed his hands. You just get the samples sent to you, right?
Yes.
And when you got the... you must be told that these samples are from left-hand and right-hand of care, right?
Correct.
So, you get those samples in the lab, and then you start running some tests on it to see what that shows, right?
Correct.
And let me just see if I'm at the right place in your report. Would this be top of page three, starting sort of at the top of page three?
Yes.
Exhibit 16?
Yes.
That you started with the left palm of Mr. Kier, correct?
Correct.
And third bullet point down, he Sun Teague, and Joel Kennedy are excluded as contributors to the DNA profile from his hand, right? We found Jacob Kier's DNA, we found Sabrina's DNA. You found Jacob and Sabrina's DNA, but you did not find Heeson or Joel's DNA on his left palm.
Correct.
And we would, of course, expect to find Mr. Kier's DNA on his palm, right?
It wouldn't be surprising, yes.
And same is true of the right hand. Of course, we found Mr. Kier's DNA on his right hand, right?
Correct.
And we found, in the lab, found Sabrina's DNA.
Correct.
But again, on his right hand, just like the left hand, no DNA of Heeson, no DNA of Joel Kennedy.
From the major mixture component in that right hand swab, yes.
In this, you were shown some pictures of the tire iron. That tire iron itself did have Heeson's DNA on it, right?
Yes.
But when we're looking at Mr. Kier's actual, you would agree that there was blood all over the tire iron, wasn't there?
There was a lot of red-brown staining that I observed, yes.
Covered. It's covered in it, isn't it?
It wasn't completely covered, no.
Okay, not completely covered. And we don't have on Mr. Kier's hands any of the swabbings containing any Heeson's DNA, any of Joel Kennedy's DNA.
Correct, from the portions that I can make comparisons to.
Right, presumably they swabbed his whole hand, but you can't speak to how much of his hand was swabbed, right?
That I don't know.
Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Is your microphone on, Mr. Lissay?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So, when you're asked that there's no DNA from this person on his hand, you aren't testing his hand. You aren't testing every area of his hand, correct?
Correct.
You are given a swab, and you are asked, is there any of DNA from these two people on that particular swab? Is that correct?
Yes.
Right. So, it's not fair to say that just because you didn't locate it in the swab, that it might not be on his hand. You can't draw that conclusion, right? You're asked to analyze a swab and tell us what you see on that swab, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So it's kind of an unfair analysis to say just because it's not present on that particular swab, you can't then make the jump to say it isn't present on that location at all, correct?
I'm going to object to the form of the question, unfair, characterizing a certain question as unfair. She can...
Would you like to rephrase the question, Mr. Lissay?
Sure. So, just because you noted that there wasn't any DNA on a particular swab of an area, are you able to automatically form a conclusion as to whether any DNA could have existed on the whole hand, for example?
No, I cannot.
And likewise with the shovel. You were asked specifically about the blade of the shovel. I believe Mr. Cotton's question was very specific on this point. He said, that Jacob Kerr's DNA wasn't located anywhere on that blade of the shovel. Did you swab the entire blade of the shovel?
No, I did not.
In fact, you swabbed a particular area of the shovel, is that correct?
Yes.
And what were you targeting when you took that swab?
I was targeting the red-brown staining that I observed.
Because that, in your experience, is consistent with blood?
Correct.
But you don't know which individuals on this scene were bleeding heavily or profusely and who wasn't?
That I don't.
But you targeted blood because blood's an easy source of DNA?
Correct.
And often in your experience, something that's significant to know whose blood is where?
Yes.
So you didn't swab the entire blade of that shovel. You swabbed a small portion of it that contained a reddish-brown substance, correct?
Yes.
And that is where you located Joel Kennedy's DNA, on that reddish-brown substance, correct?
Correct.
And that is where Jacob Kerr was excluded from that reddish-brown substance swab, correct?
Yes.
So you're not drawing any conclusions. When you're analyzing that swab, the one swab you took off of the blade, you're not drawing any conclusions as to the remainder of the blade of the shovel, correct?
I'm objecting on leading grounds at this point, Your Honor.
Can you draw a conclusion with respect to the remainder of the shovel based on the results of the one swab you took from a portion of the blade of the shovel?
No, I can't.
And again, in your training and experience, blood generally tends to provide more DNA than touch DNA, for example.
Yes, that's correct.
I'm drawing your attention to what's previously been marked as 1046. Do the items depicted in that photograph look to be consistent with the socks that you analyzed at the lab that are addressed in your report?
Yes.
Also, I want to clarify just this notion of mixtures and then the suggestion that you didn't locate any of a person's DNA, for example, on those hand swabs. The hand swabs were mixtures in many instances, correct?
Yes, both of the swabs from the hands were mixture profiles.
And at least one of those swabs, was there a minor component for which you were not able to draw conclusions?
Yes.
Which one was that?
The right hand palm.
So I want to draw your attention specifically to that right hand palm. Which item number was that? Is that H?
That is I.
I, excuse me. Can you just run through that again one more time? You had a mixture that included at least how many individuals?
That one was three individuals.
And that's at least three individuals, correct?
Correct.
There could be more, potentially.
Possibly.
And that mixture contained how many, at least how many male individuals?
At least one male.
And that's where you noted that Jacob Kerr and Sabrina Teague are included as possible contributors, correct?
Yes, they're included as possible contributors to that major mixture component, so that was those top two people in that three-person mixture.
And when your report says that Hesan and Joel were excluded, they're excluded as to that top two mixture, correct?
Correct.
Were you able to make any exclusionary conclusions as to whether Joel Kennedy and Hesan Teague were excluded from the minor component of that mixture?
I was not.
So, in fact, you are observing at least one other person's DNA on that hand mixture on the right hand, correct?
Correct.
But you're not able to make any exclusionary or inclusionary conclusions about that third person's DNA?
That's correct.
No further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any refresh?
Yes, I do have a couple of questions.
On that, with this minor mixture, that could have been run against databases, couldn't it have?
No, I was not able to run that against the database.
So this is, why is that?
There are a lot of specific rules and regulations on what is allowed to be entered into the database, and one of those is that I have to be able to make a statistical comparison to that profile before entering it in the database.
Okay, and we couldn't, and you couldn't make a statistical comparison with the minor mixture because it's such a small, has such a small component.
Yes.
So it's really not possible to figure out whose that is.
Correct.
Okay. Anybody on the planet, conceivably, right?
Possibly. I can't make any conclusions on it.
All right. And then you were asked some questions about swabbing of the red stain area of the shovel. Would you agree with me that you're the one who decides what areas to swab?
Yes.
So if you want to swab multiple areas, you can do that. If you want to just swab one area, that's totally within your discretion, right?
Correct.
Thank you. That's all.
Any additional questions, Mr. Lissay?
There are some other restrictions on that data, on the use of the database, correct?
Yes, there's a list of rules on things that are and are not allowed to be entered into the database.
And in fact, if you have a case where you know that certain subjects are involved in a case, is it common for you to compare to the database when you have known subjects?
Depending on all of the specifics of the case, we can enter some of those. But if they're known, if they're the victim in the case, if we're told that that's a victim's profile, or let's say a sexual assault case, if they have a consensual sexual partner, we cannot enter those types of standard or samples into the database.
The purpose of comparing, what is generally the purpose of comparing your sample to the database?
The database is primarily for samples that we don't know who the DNA is from in that sample, but it can also be used if we do have a matching standard in specific cases. It can also be used to try and link multiple cases together.
And in all of these situations where you noted minor components or components unsuitable for comparison, that's not something you'd be able to compare to the database.
Correct.
No further questions.
Thank you, Ms. Lindsay. You may step down.